And today we continue on the life of the Apostle Paul. And incidentally, on the Bible studies, we are teaching on the life of Jesus. So we are on the life of the Apostle Paul. And this is the third in a series of the life of the Apostle Paul. Even though some of you may have not heard the other two series, but each is built just on the message itself. So you'll be able to take part in that which we bring forth of that portion of the life of the Apostle Paul. We have seen Paul's background and what he was and what he went through. We have seen last week how God brought him to Antioch, which is in Acts chapter 11. So let's pick up from Acts chapter 11 in the life of the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 11. And we have said that from Acts chapter 9, which was his conversion on his way to Damascus when he was converted, to Acts 11 is about 10 years. Three of those years in Arabia, Damascus, and then the other 6 years is in his hometown Tarsus, and his final year here in Acts 11, year number 10, is when Barnabas went to get him. In Acts chapter 11, it's about AD 45, verse 22 onwards. Then news of the things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. I didn't know the church has ears, but notice the church has ears. Ears of the church in Jerusalem. And they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year, during the whole of the 10th year, the assembly with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Let's read on about Antioch here in verse 27. And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. Thus they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So we realize that the church in Antioch is now getting very active. And Paul arrived there, and for an entire year, in verse 26, they spent time teaching the word of God. The next time you hear about it is in Acts chapter 13. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Thus begins what we call Paul's first missionary journey in Acts 13. So in this third part in the life of Paul, we see what we call his ministry development. How in the book of Acts chapter 11, he started as one of the teachers. What was he doing? Well, let's refer back to Acts 11 during that time. We know that up to that time, he was just probably meditating on the word and waiting on God in Tarsus. But in Acts 11, when he arrived there, in verse 26, "So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the people and taught a great many people." Now bear in mind that Paul was called into the fivefold office. What is a fivefold office? Well, let's reference to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 11. Chapter 4, verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, the word pastor is not found very often in the Bible, but in the Greek, it's the same word as the word shepherd. So when you hear see the word shepherd, it's the same Greek word as the word pastor. But in ministry form, the pastoral work is the same as the work of an elder, the work of a bishop, and the work of a deacon. So notice that pastoral work flows into various subdivisions. But in verse 11 here, what we call the fivefold. And so for a moment, I'd like you to take up your hand, your right hand or left hand, whichever. Lift up your hand. Thank you. Yep. And wiggle your thumb. That represents the apostle. Apostolic ministry can reach to any of the fivefold, you notice. That's why the apostle and apostolic ministry touches the other ministries. It's the base foundation, the apostolic ministry. And then the second one, the pointing finger. Right? When you point, usually you point with this pointing finger. Very few people point, which direction should I go? There. Right? Very few people point that way, but they use this finger to point. A pointing finger. That's a prophet. Always likes to. Thus says the Lord, you know, the prophet. And I do prophesying, do have prophecies once in a while. I do have visions once in a while. But thank God I'm not a prophet. Somebody else could be called to be a prophet. They can take that job. And their job is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comforted. Yeah, thus says the Lord, kind of. So that's a prophet. Then you have the middle finger, which if your hands are normal, it's the longest. Okay, if yours is not the longest, we can pray for it afterwards and maybe expect a miracle. It's the longest, and that represents the evangelist. It reaches the furthest. Go where? Okay, go where no evangelist has gone before. Exploring new frontiers, the evangelist. And then you have the ring finger. That's the pastoral ministry. The last little finger, small but important. Balance your whole finger. Small little finger, important. That's the teacher. And it's the only finger that you can go into your ears. Get the word of God into you. The teacher. So, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Now, the apostle Paul stood in three of the fivefold. Jesus stood in five of the fivefold. Jesus was an apostle. He was a prophet. He is called an apostle. That's one his title to. He's an apostle. He's a prophet. He was an evangelist. He's a pastor, a shepherd. He's a teacher. Rabbi. That is why very few ministries are like Jesus, because he got fivefold ministries. But when the fivefold come together, you see a totality that can bring forth the fullness of Jesus' ministry. Paul stood in three of the fivefold. In the book of 1 Timothy, let's look at 1 Timothy, just to establish the fact that he knew he was called to three of the fivefold ministries. And we look here in the book of 1 Timothy, and the passage that we like to look at is in, let's look first in chapter 1. Verse 12 first. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Notice He says, God puts him into the ministry. Now look over at the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. To which I was appointed a preacher, that's an evangelist, an apostle, and a teacher. And notice that even though on the fivefold it says apostle, first prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, Paul says he was called to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. So Paul stood in three of the fivefold offices. Now sometimes, even though you're called to more than one office, one of your offices could take precedence over the other. So for Paul, evangelism was very important to him, which is why you see him traveling. And then setting up churches, there is his apostolic ministry, and then he had a teaching gift too. So a person can stand in more than one of the fivefold ministries. A person can stand in three, like Paul, three of the fivefold ministries. But what we want to see is, how did Paul's ministry develop? Having looked at that, look at Acts 11 again. Refresh scriptures that we read in Acts 11. Remember, he was a nobody. Nobody knew him. Nobody knows him except Barnabas and a few others know him. Nobody wanted him. And if he had any fame, it was more infamous for what he had done in the past against Christians. And he was a persecutor against them. And so he was up to Acts 11 before Barnabas called him, unknown, unheard of. No doors opened to him. Every door was shut right in his face. No doubt he was an intelligent man. He was a gifted man. He was brought up under the one of the best teachers, Gamaliel. But have you noticed that sometimes you can be the most gifted person, you can be the most hardworking person, you can be very good at different things, but no doors are open. Because only God can open doors. Only God can open doors. You can only pray that if you develop your gift, there's a little verse in Proverbs that says, your gift will make room for you. In other words, if you just keep faithfully developing your abilities in God, one day, your gift will make room for you. It was a gift of Joseph that made room for him in Pharaoh's court. Your gift will make room for you. So don't despair. When you have no open doors, just keep sharpening the tools of your trade. Sharpening the gifts and talents in your life unto God. And wait on God. And we will look at some of these factors about how God brings us into different ministry. Finally, when Barnabas went and fetched Paul, all Paul did, he knew, remember, we read earlier his testimony which was given in Acts 24 and Acts 26 about the account in Acts 9, that he knew he was called to a big ministry, to bear witness before kings and Gentiles and Jews and all those things. But there were no doors open for him. Acts 11, when he went in verse 26, he just started as a teacher. Not to an entire church world, just to one little group of people. He was to them a teacher. And he faithfully taught. Since he loved the word, he faithfully taught the word of God. And throughout his life and travels, you notice he kept teaching the word. He kept bringing forth the whole counsel of God. Today we look at what we call progression in ministry. So entering into the doors that God opened. Progression into the doors that God has for us. The principles apply even if you're not called to the fivefold. Even if you're called to the professional world, the principles still are the same. And in number one, we